show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one! Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
With the fifth selection of the 2012 first-year player draft, the Kansas City Royals select Kyle Zimmer.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
And welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I'm Troy Olson. I'm joined, as always, by the great Emperor and the almighty Michael Engel. How are you doing tonight, gentlemen?
Doing fantastic.
That's overselling just a bit.
Only for me, though, not for Mike.
Okay, whatever.
So Jeff is great, but Mike is not almighty, just so that we cleared that up.
No, this is the way around. Mike is almighty. I am not great. I was saying there.
All right. Can we get on with the show now?
Please.
Salvador Perez just hit a double. 2-1.
I know.
No spoilers.
Oh, are you not watching, Mike?
No, I'm recording it. I was getting late.
I didn't know that. My fault.
It's okay.
For everybody who's watching this, that'll be like three games removed.
I'm going to post tomorrow. So, anyways, Hello from our humble abode, mine, of course, in Flagstaff, Arizona, where it is 60 degrees and 20% humidity. It's freaking fantastic here. Mike's in the home of the Jayhawks, Lawrence, Kansas, and Jeff is still in Brookside because he hasn't sold his house yet. If you want to buy a house, call Jeff. We are, of course, brought to you by Kelly's Westport Inn and kingsofkaufman.com. You can find us on Facebook at the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Look for the one that says presented by Kelly's Westport, and on Twitter at KC Baseball Vault. And you can email us any opinions you have at kansascitybaseballvault@gmail.com. Call us and leave us great voicemails throughout the week at 913-871-0659. We've had some great guests lately. You can get those at both kansascitybaseballvault.com and at royalspodcast.com, where you can also find great shows from our partners at the Pine Tar Press. We've had some great guests lately, including Duffy, Dutton, Hudler, Piccolo, McCartney, and Elliot Johnson. Of course, not Paul McCartney. We're still waiting for him to call. Royals had a great week, guys. All of a sudden, they lead the division after everybody was freaking out after three games. Mike, what's your takeaways from this week?
Well, you look at the starting pitching, and it's really done exactly what, at least so far, two times through, pretty much what you expected them to do, or at least what the Royals hoped they would do. You know, other than Wade Davis, every starter's gone six innings in a start, which is great. I mean, last year, through nine games, that had happened three times, and two of those were the first two games. So to have it kind of flip around, you get the bullpen, you're able to use a full assortment of your guys out of the bullpen for whatever situations. You don't have to worry so much about a long relief guy, so that then you can come in and you've got a guy like Bruce Chen available the other night, where he can come out and throw three very good innings. So, you know, that's been the most striking part. The Royals have scored some runs in some cases, and they've kind of had to scrape them together in others. So I think you're kind of going to see that a lot of the year. But, you know, starting pitching has been really good. The solo homers have been a problem, but they've been solo homers. You know, they're, I think, still second in the majors in strikeouts as a pitching staff, and they're second best in lowest walks allowed. And that's very good. I mean, that's as good as you can get that ratio. You're going to have some success, and that's what they're doing so far.
Jeff, what's your takeaways from this week?
Mike pretty much nailed it there, but I have two big things. One, just kind of what Mike said about the pitching. I think the best part for me that I've noticed is the Royals have been winning and they're not pitching above their heads. You know, it's not, if you thought the Royals were going to be 6-3, you might have thought, oh man, we'd have two games where James Shields went seven innings with a shutout and maybe Irvin Santana had a really good game or something like that. But I mean, James Shields, his first game was great. And then his second game, you know, they gave up. We've had multiple games where the Royals have given up, you know, four runs early and they've battled back. So the pitching has been very good, at least especially considering what we had previously. But it hasn't been out of this world. You know, the strikeouts are a good number and everything, but they've still put themselves in a hole and they've battled back. So the pitching can even improve from where it is, which is a good sign. And my second biggest takeaway, I think, is the sweep of the Twins was good for a couple reasons. One, because I hate the Twins and I hate Twins fans. So yeah. Anytime that the Royals can sweep them is fantastic. But the Twins are not a good ball club this year, and they're probably not going to be for the next couple years, but that's a different topic. But they're not very good this year, and I think that's important to realize, not necessarily to put things in perspective of the Royals beating up on the Twins for three games, but more so to look at it from the standpoint of, okay, the Royals, it's been a long time since they've been in a position where there are quite a few teams in this league, not just the American League, but in baseball in general, that are worse than the Royals. I think the Royals, if you look at their roster talent-wise, they'd stack out in about right about the middle of the league. And that means there's probably, you know, probably in that, I'd say in that 15 to 18 range probably of teams in the league. Some might say higher, but we'll put them there. So there's a good 10-plus teams that should be worse than the Royals. And if you're the Royals, those are the teams that you have to take care of business when you play them. And to see them come have an inferior Twins team come to town and take three games away from them, and they're all victories, then that's a good sign to me, and that's probably the best sign. So, I mean, you got to think, if the Royals can do that playing teams like the Twins and the Indians, that they're probably better than for most of the year. And then, like you saw with the White Sox and the Phillies, if they can just split games with teams that they're even with, I mean, that's they're probably going to be a 500 ball club right there, easy. And then if they get some luck with, you know, playing against teams that are probably better than them, like the Blue Jays this weekend, or, and I'm talking about talent roster wise, or, you know, when they play the Yankees or the Tigers or whatever, if they get some luck in those games, then you can start talking about going above 500 and talking about the division contention. So for me, so far, in just the first week, and we're in that still in that small sample size area, but for me, those are the two biggest takeaways that I have.
Well, and we got to get out to our first guest, which I didn't mention. We've got an action-packed show for you tonight. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Bob Kendrick, which is going to be an interview driven by these other two numbskulls on the line, because they were lucky enough to go to the event last night, and me, not so much.
Well, we were lucky enough to pay up for it.
Well, but I mean, I would have paid for it if I'd have been there.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, so that's that. But we're going to talk to Bob Kendrick first, and then we're going to talk to Brad Cook, friend of the program. He's the marketing director for Out of the Park Baseball, who just released their 14th edition, not 2014, which we got corrected on last year, but their 14th edition, and we're going to talk with him. And then we're going to close the show, and I wish we would have had not overbooked ourselves so bad today, but he happened to write an article on Bubba Starling today. Jason Parks of Baseball Perspectives joins the program once again, and Mike brought up in our planning session something that was interesting. He said that it was kind of funny because our first interview we ever had with Jason Parks was also on a show that he shared with Bob Kendrick. So, but we're going to give Bob a call. My takeaways from this week real quick are the solo home runs are scary. But other than that, I'm really happy with what we've seen. But these teams that we've played probably aren't going to be contenders, although the White Sox could be, and we didn't play very well against them. So hopefully we see that turn around in the next 17 times that we play the White Sox. And there is a lead right now. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Casey Royal Man. I'm doing a daily update. The magic number right now for the Royals is 153. So we're counting it down every day. We're gonna take that division or the wild card, and I'm going to count it down every day and until we do. And if we don't, then I'll count down our elimination number until we're out of it. And it won't be as much fun, but It'll be something. So, but we're going to take a quick break. Give us your thoughts at KansasCityBaseballVault@gmail.com or on Twitter, Facebook, either one, or give us a call, 913-871-0659, and leave us your opinions. We'll play them on the air. That way you can be part of the show. But give me a minute, and we're going to be right back.
This is the Echo Network, the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
Welcome into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. I am Troy Olson. I'm joined by Michael Engel and Jeff Herb. We're very excited today because we're going to be joined by Rob Nyer, Danny Duffy, Joel Goldberg, Bob Dutton.
Budcast Podcast.
Best Bud City.
Well, 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 well.
Welcome. I'm Vladimir. All cool guys, watch Pee Pee Boy Rump Rangers.
Every Wednesday at 4.
It's time for The Ball Game, sponsored by the Kansas City Baseball Historical Society, with Jeff Logan, Chris Kamler, and 1985 World Series champion Greg Pryor.
The Royals have won the 1985 World Series.
Join baseball's best Wednesdays from 4 to 5 on
The Ball Game on ESPN 1510 AM.
This is the Echo Network.
I guess it's echonetwork.com. If I ever get the website right, we'll be doing great.
Hey, Troy, what are you doing this weekend?
Going to grab a beer somewhere. What do you have in mind?
I heard about this awesome new bar downtown. It's called Rage. The waitresses have a contest to see who has the most piercing.
No, man, that's not really my scene.
Well, there's another bar close by called Spit Cup. Check it out. The bartenders wear chaps, and every hour they shoot a guy.
No, seriously, I just want a bar where I can sit down and watch the game.
Okay, I've got just the place. It's called Lilac. You sit on pillows, and you drink from eucalyptus leaves.
No, Ned, but I just want a place where I can get a cheap drink and watch the football game.
Okay, I got it. This place, it's got a TV. It's called 816.
Libidotosis.
Yep. All their drinks come in NBA hats.
Man, I just want a place like Kelly's.
Oh, you mean Kelly's Westport Inn? No, they've got all the basketball and bowl games. They've even got a heated roof. The view is really nice, too, if you know what I'm saying. Why didn't you just say you wanted to go to Kelly's?
Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road. Make it your place to go any time of the week. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Of course, I'm joined by Jeff and Mike. And then now on the line, the president of the Negro League Baseball Museum. Definitely one of the favorite places of the three of us that are on the line. Bob Kendrick, you can follow him on Twitter at NL. I'm going to screw this up. NL BM Prez, Negro League Baseball Museum Prez, BL NLBM Prez. On Twitter. It's really not that hard. You can find it. Bob, how you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing great, man. Good to be back on the show.
Well, we're glad to have you. It's another action-packed show. It seems like every time I book you, I end up having other people book too. I don't know what that says. We always seem to get you on action-packed shows, but you're kind of an action-packed guy, so I guess it fits. So tell us a little bit about how last night came to – well, For the record, we're recording on 4/12. People will listen on different days, but this is the day after the 42 red carpet premiere at the Negro League Baseball. Well, it wasn't at the museum, but it was presented by the museum. I believe it was at AMC up in the Northland in Kansas City. But, Bob, how did that come to be?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. It really was more luck than anything else. You know, we had known about the making of this film for a long time, and we had been in contact with folks and friends over at Warner Brothers and then Legendary Films, just hoping that we might be able to connect with someone who would allow us to do a screening of the film. And I stumbled upon the connection between local company Waddell & Reed, headquartered at least, national company headquartered in Kansas City, Waddell & Reed, who had an investment stakehold in Legendary Films. And then I made some more calls to people who knew somebody over at Waddell & Reed. Next thing you know, they get me in contact with Ryan Caldwell over at Waddell & Reed. They say, well, we were just thinking about you guys. We had seen this in Pittsburgh, and we thought about the Negro League Baseball Museum. And then we started having conversations, and voila, the next thing you know, we've got this screening secured. And then we started seeing how we could turn this into a major fundraising effort. And the great folks over at Waddell & Reed reached out to their contacts at Legendary Films. Thomas Tull, the CEO over there, reached out to Harrison Ford. And, man, this thing just morphed into something that we never really dreamed. I mean, it was sensational. But that's really how it kind of came about.
And I have to say, man, if there was anybody I want to run my business, it's you, because you are a hustler. You are the king of the hustlers. I mean, that museum open when everybody has said that it should have been closed many, many moons ago. And I know a lot of people are really grateful for that. But, I mean, you've had some great events there going back to the All-Star break. You had some amazing events there, some great dinners that with some of the most famous Negro League players. You have your awards every year, which has brought in some of the greatest of today. I went to an event there before I moved that where Ozzie Smith was, one of my heroes growing up. Other than that he was a Cardinal, he was, you know, such a great player. You know, and I got to meet him, and of course I've met Frank White many times, but I had a picture taken with him and Frank, and that was great. And then, and now this. So this has to be, in my opinion, this is absolutely the cherry on top of anything that has gone on in the last 3 years, the Negro League Museum. I mean, you had Harrison Ford, and the mayor, of course, was there, and there was a whole list. I saw an email that went out from the Kansas City Sports Commission that showed a picture of you with all the dignitaries that were there, and Fox 4 was covering it on Twitter, you know, piece by piece. What does the museum get to take away from this event? How much did this event help you guys? I'm not looking for necessarily a number figure, but what does this mean to the museum as keeping the doors open?
Well, you know, it was extremely important on a number of levels, Troy. I mean, you know, what we were able to do was bring a major event to Kansas City, which we are tremendously proud to have had a hand in doing so. In the process, I think that elevates the value of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. And again, we were able to turn it into a significant fundraising event. You know, these numbers were published in today's paper. We raised nearly $200,000 last night from this event. And so if you had asked me from the get-go when we were actually out trying to secure this, if we'd raised $200,000, I would have said, no, man, you're crazy. We just want to do something that would help raise the profile of the museum. But we were able to not only raise the profile, but also raise significant funds for both the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum and the Greater Kansas City Sports Commission. And so this is such an important film because what the film does, even though the focus is on an individual, Jackie Robinson, it helps people understand that Robinson's roots for baseball began professionally in the Negro Leagues. And hopefully in doing so, gives people a better understanding of why the Negro Leagues were so important, because had it not been for Kansas City, had it not been for the Negro Leagues, we don't find Jackie Robinson. And so who knows how long it would have been before another African-American would have gotten that opportunity.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that during the Q&A last night that was brought up, that maybe it takes another 5 years, maybe it's another 10 years, and then, you know, that shuts out Willie Mays and that shuts out Hank Aaron and Artie Banks and some of the all-time greats in the game that people don't get to see. Another really important thing that I kind of took away, I was in the VIP theater, so I was able to, you know, take part and view all the really cool stuff like the auction, and you guys came away very nicely in that. But I was sitting next to, I was sitting next to a woman who was with her son, and this is like a 9 or 10 year old boy. And as things are happening on the screen, she's kind of going aside and helping explain some of the context and some of the, you know, some of the stuff, you know, because there's some language that you don't necessarily hear every day, but it's what was happening at the time. And I think it's important to kind of have that context in the film as well as for, you know, the museum and that whole era. And that kind of struck me because it's a whole learning experience from the film. And then when you combine that with the museum and what the museum offers as far as being not just a timeline of baseball, but a timeline of history. And so I think you guys did very well in showing off those sides of the museum, of baseball, and everything all involved. And I thought it was tremendous.
Well, you know, that's why I think the film is so important for us, because it's introducing a new generation of baseball fans to the courage of Jackie Robinson. And so you're right, the film is rated PG-13 primarily for the language. And it was the language of that time of a segregated society. And again, the, you know, just the ill will that was so much a part of this man playing baseball. But you know what I take away from the film? What it does is it makes segregation appear even more ludicrous than we knew it to be already. Because we're all sitting there scratching our heads, by the fact that our country could be so backwards to the point where you were judging people simply by the color of their skin. And this man was just trying to play baseball. He had a job. His job was to play baseball. And you know, it was just amazing to see what he had to endure to play this game in this country.
Bob, you know, I think that's perfectly well said. I was talking to my dad after my dad, both my parents came with me last night when I went, and I wasn't swanky like Mike. I didn't get to do the VIP one. I was just amazing. one of the things that I was talking to my dad with after the movie, I was just like, man, it didn't seem real. Kind of the way, everyone was portrayed and how all that stuff did, just because, you know, we don't see that every day. It seems so hard to believe, you know, but my dad was just, he's like, you know, that's the way it was. That's the craziest part. And, you know, I think you kind of just summed it up really well, that it's just, that's what I thought was great about it, is that it puts it out there, and it doesn't make it something that you can just kind of be like, oh, that it wasn't as bad as it seemed or anything like that. I mean, it was awful, it was terrible, and it was happening, and it was. I think that's the film showed a good way of portraying that. But as I was going through the night, I was just like, I was thinking, I said this to my dad at one point, just about the only thing that would have made that night more perfect than if Jackie Robinson were still alive and could have been there, but would have been if Buck O'Neill was there. I mean, how do you think Buck would have enjoyed being there, and what do you think he would have thought of the film and how everything happened, and just how he would have been a part of last night?
Yeah, sir, this is Buck would still be red carpet. We'd have to get Buck off red carpet. You know, Buck would have hugged and high-fived every single individual that lined that red carpet last night. I tell you what, I enjoyed my time on the red carpet, and I think a lot of that was because I was thinking about Buck the entire time. He you know, first and foremost, he would have been so proud. He would have been so proud of his museum and our efforts to secure such a major event. Number one, he loved Jackie Robinson, so he would have been so excited to see Jackie's story translated to the big screen. And again, you know, just that whole feeling about people getting a better understanding. That's what he always wanted. He wanted people to know how great the Negro Leagues were, that it wasn't a second-class league, that it didn't take a backseat to any other baseball league, that these were very talented, very proud men who were able to carve out a path at a time when society really didn't want to allow them to do it. And so this film brings all those elements to life. And I just know Buck, you know, Buck would have just been so proud of everything that took place. And you saw that rainbow of people of all different shades and hues and colors in there celebrating this history. You know, that's our American history. You know, and so he was there to witness, to be a part of that change, and then he lived long enough to enjoy that change.
Thank you so much for taking the time, Bob. We always wish we could have hours with you because you have such great stories. And, man, I always encourage people. Oh, I did have one more question before I forget. Last year I have a program that tells me the tweets from a year ago that I've retweeted or posted. And one of the tweets that I retweeted was a post from you that had said that with your Royals ticket you got $2 off at the door. Are you guys going to do that again this year?
Yeah, absolutely. That deal is still in the works. And also, we're expanding for anyone who goes to see 42, no matter what theater you go see it, you can redeem your ticket at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum for $2 off admission and 10% off of any items in our store, including the very new Jackie Robinson merchandise that's for sale in our gift shop.
Fantastic.
All right, so that's a huge deal, folks. So head on out there. Bob, what is a typical admission for one day to the museum?
For adults, it's $10. To see the Negro Leagues Museum, and you know, it's a tremendous value for a museum of this nature. And of course, we're in the same complex with the American Jazz Museum, so you know, there's two unique slices of culture, and you can see them both for just $15.
and then you can get a membership for as low as 25, correct?
As low as 25, absolutely. Their annual renewal. But a lot of great things come with membership, plus we keep you in the know. You know, you're the first one to know about these exciting events that we're doing in the programs through the, you know, throughout the course of the year. You know, I didn't even get a chance to mention, though, we had Charlie Pride at the museum on Wednesday, which jump-started our Jackie Robinson celebration, and we presented Charlie with the Jackie Robinson Lifetime Achievement Award, and we sat down and had a wonderful conversation about his illustrious life. And, you know, guys, a lot of people don't realize that that Charlie Pride played in the Negro League. And so before he embarked on this mega-successful country music career.
And I think that's so great. And, you know, one of the things that we're about to do here on the show after we get off the phone with you is we're getting on the phone with one of the gentlemen that markets a baseball program called Out of the Park Baseball. It's the number one baseball simulator that's out there. And some people have went and tried to recreate the Negro Leagues in that game. It's something that I'm going to put some time into this year as well because it's such a big part of baseball history. How can you have a baseball game without having these great players involved in it? So I'll ask you, is there a place online where we can find good comps for what the players in the Negro Leagues were to players through baseball history? Is there a website that kind of shows that you know of?
In terms of, are we looking now for statistical data?
Like, yeah, if I were to say that, you know, a great Negro League player, what players would comp to players in modern day baseball? You know, if we wanted to do like a Negro League All-Star team, how would they comp to players in current baseball or in the history of whites baseball or baseball now?
Yeah. Wow. That actually would be really interesting because, you know, I started as you were saying that, I was like, okay, who in the world could I compare Josh Gibson to?
Right. That's what I was thinking. I was like, you know, because he was...
I think people would be compared more to Josh Gibson than the other way around.
I was going to say, because wasn't...
I remember, because there's no one who ever played catcher that you could even come close to comparing Gibson to. I mean, he was that good. You know, and particularly when you look at what he was able to do both defensively and he hit for power and average. You know, Johnny Bench, obviously, you know, was great. The name that jumps out at you, but Bench didn't have the power that Gibson had.
Well, I might have to do some research on this, and I may be sending you some emails saying, hey, do you think this is a correct statistical, you know, appreciation of these players, and so we can try to get some of them worked into our game and get that added on to the add-ons that are available for this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the other one that comes to mind is Oscar Charleston and Matt Kemp. You know, those two guys are very similar. You know, but, you know, as great as Matt is, he's got a long way to go to catch Charleston, though.
Very true.
All righty. Well, Bob, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for having that great event last night. I know the guys really enjoyed it. I wish I could have been there, but it's a long drive from Flagstaff now, which is where I call home. And we want to thank you for taking the time to come on tonight, and you have a great night, okay?
Okay, guys. So much. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
No problem. We're going to get some people out to the museum for you. Have a great night.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was Bob Kendrick of the Negro League Museum. And, I mean, if you happen to run into him at the museum, you're about to get the greatest tour of all time. Because if you can get the Bob Kendrick tour, you'll never have a museum tour like it ever again. So definitely go check it out. The museum is open, I believe, 7 days a week, but you can call down there and double check. They may be closed on Mondays. It seems like all the museums in Kansas City, except for Steamboat Arabia, are closed on Monday. By the way, if you've never been to Steamboat Arabia, that's another great one to go see. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back with Brad Cook from Out of the Park Baseball. We'll be right back. Hey, guys, what is our password for...
After a long day, you can only go so far.
Callie's.
You work hard to make the moment right.
Callie's.
You grind it out to make that time yours.
Callie's.
You pound the pavement only to find you're getting closer.
Callie's.
You find the peak and the peak finds you.
Callie's.
When you find the time and she finds the time, make it Callie's.
Callie's.
Kelly's Westport Inn can cause intimate moments and can also cause members of the opposite sex to appear more or less attractive than they actually are. You should speak to a doctor before attempting Kelly's Westport Inn, as the results might be marriage, children, or a one-night stand. Or it might just involve having some beers with your friends, eating some pizza, and watching the games on TV. I don't know. I talk pretty fast. Kelly's Westport Inn. You know when. Kelly's. Tell them you came for the Royal Man Report.
And welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Of course, what a great interview with Bob Kendrick. That's like the fifth or sixth time he's been on the show with us. We love him, and we love the Negro League Museum, and please go visit. But now we shift to my absolute favorite thing to play. To give you a little insight into how I use my computer, I only have one computer now. I don't have my laptop anymore because I don't have my old job. So I can only play this on one computer now, but it's connected to a 42-inch TV. So half of my TV playing Hulu, and then in the other half I'll have Out of the Park Baseball. And I've been fortunate enough to get to know Brad and to become partners with them in a sense that we help advertise. Of course, last year, if you listened, we tried to make the Royals competitive and were unable to do so in a five-year span. So that did not show for very positive for the Royals' future. We'll see if, of course, we didn't have James Shields and Wade Davis. So we'll see how much of a difference that makes with the real Royals. But this year, a new version of Out of the Park has come out. It's Out of the Park 14, not to be confused with Out of the Park 2014, because they don't do it based on the years. It's based on just the version number, and that's why we're talking about the 14th version. And Brad Cook from Out of the Park Baseball, the 14th edition just came out. I think it was released today, right, Brad?
Yeah, it went out today to everyone who pre-ordered, and then it'll go out worldwide on Monday.
So those that pre-ordered are getting it today, and they're getting a chance to play it. I had a pre-release copy. It's been a lot of fun. I know Jeff didn't have time to get into his, but some new features this year. Of course, it's the greatest simulator that you can get on the market, and if you haven't played it, you need to. And last year we had an episode with Brad. You can search that in the archives. You can go to I know the archives aren't up on Mike's site yet, but you can go to royalmanreport.podomatic.com and see all of our archives, and you can see our first interview with Brad where we talked in-depth about the game. But we're going to try to hit the updates this year. And Brad, I want to start with my favorite one, actually two of them, that are both to do with the way that the game starts up this year. You can actually go into the start menu on Windows, and it has an arrow now, and it shows you the recent games you've had. So if you have multiple leagues, they're just one click away. Was this an intentional addition, or was this requested by fans, or how did that come to be, or do you know on that one?
I'll have to confess, I don't know. I'm on a Mac, and I obviously don't have that functionality. I haven't seen that, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'll have to take a screenshot and show you. It's actually pretty, and it's probably only me. I'm probably the only person in the world that cares about this feature, but it's really cool. And there's also a starting and safe mode feature, which I like, because sometimes I forget to shut Out of the Park down, and then my computer restarts, or I forget to save my database, and then I have to start back a year because I've lost it because I was an idiot and didn't save. Always save your games, man.
Yeah.
Because if this program crashes, it'll wipe away a good amount of what you've accomplished. So you got to make sure to save. But Brad, what are some of your favorite additions in the 14th edition?
I would say the kind of the different ways that you can bring players into your league now. You know, things like the established international free agents, so you can find, you know, your own Ichiro or Yu Darvish, or the international amateur top prospects, you know, those 16, 17-year-olds who have some promise. And you can – there's a new player development screen, so you can kind of put those players in your organization, and the idea is you've signed them and you're kind of training them and seeing, you know, when they're ready to move into your system. And there are a couple other ways you can bring players into. I like that a lot. And we you know, there are also, like you said, you know, there are always some kind of cool little things that maybe not everyone loves. But one thing I really like is the not interested in a certain player function when trading. So the AI won't keep offering you a player, which happens sometimes, you know, when they keep trying to dump someone on you and you keep having to say no to them, and you can just tell it to just forget it. Don't ever offer this to me again. There's also the changed webcast view. I actually tweeted a screenshot of that today. It's kind of nice when you're playing out a game, you can check out the webcast, and there are different ways to see the pitcher-hitter matchup and even the weather and win probability and things like that. So that's the
and
stuff
it's
I like.
Got, it's got an improved text-to-speech, so you can hear like the announcers if you want to hear that part. I don't use that when I play. I'm perfectly fine with the text when I'm moving through my simulations and my games. Another really neat feature, I love the not interested because I started a game in 1871, and I'm working through current time. And in my reality, no team goes broke. So, like, I have three major leagues. I have Major League Baseball, which is the NL and AL, which the game sets it as NL and AL very much earlier than the AL actually came to be. But that's cool by me. And then I have added I kept the National Association of Professional Baseball Players, and I kept the American Association, which were two leagues that came to be and then died. But, like, I have four teams in the state of – or in the Washington, D.C. area because none of the Washington, D.C. teams went broke in my reality. So I'm going to have at the end when it's all said and done, I'll have about 60 or 70 actual major league teams. And it's been kind of fun to play it that way. And but in doing so, I have interleague – I have – intra and trading from the different leagues into each other. And one thing I get a lot of offers on is middle relievers, and in this game middle relievers are really a dime a dozen, and so I've really liked having that feature to have them quit offering me the same middle reliever over and over again that I'm not interested in. Additionally, I really like how they've cleaned up the playoffs. They're now into each playoffs is in one drop down, and you can see them a lot cleaner across the top, and there's a lot more visual things. The aesthetics of the game have really improved, so really cool goes out to those guys. Now, Brad, tell us a little bit about Add-on Central and what that does for the game.
Well, you know, the thing about Out of the Park Baseball is you can customize pretty much everything and anything in the game, and Add-on Central lets you add a lot of stuff. You know, we don't have the licenses, so one of the first things people like to do is we've got the all-in-one mod and Add-on Central, so that'll get you the real team logos, the player pictures. We've got FaceGen. FaceGen was improved this year, so the player pictures look even nicer. You can use photos, too, but, you know, I think FaceGen works pretty well. So you can get all the official logos and everything, as well as the ballparks. So that's pretty nice. And then we've got some cool, quick starts in there. There's a quick start. There's an all-time greatest quick start that has each team stocked with their greatest players of all time, which is kind of fun to play around with. And there's some other stuff that people have created too, some other add-ons, more player pictures, historical stuff, all that. So it's a nice way to kind of add on to the game.
And there's a lot of people out there that do leagues online, and that's another cool feature. And that's something that we're going to try to do this year because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Some people have talked about it last year. I don't know if we're going to do where you just adopt a team and maybe we'll use, like he was talking about, the greatest players setup. We might start with that and then let the fake players come in as time goes on, depending on how many people we get. But shoot me an email at KansasCityBaseballVault@gmail.com if you're interested in doing the Out of the Park Baseball 14 league with Kansas City Baseball Vault. And we might actually team with Pine Tar Press on this as well and get some guys from over there. But if you're interested in doing it, let us know, because then we're going to get in on the online leagues as well. But is the Seamheads League, is that going to continue this year, or was that kind of a one-year thing for those guys?
I think it was kind of a one-year thing. Mike Lynch at Seamheads couldn't continue with it, and so a guy named Gary Graves, who's been hanging around the Out of the Park Baseball forums and is pretty involved for a long time, he took it over. I know he wanted to do it again, but I don't know if he got a ton of interest, unfortunately. So I don't know if that will happen. But Gary is participating in our in the Grand Championship League that I set up, which you guys will have to participate in. Basically, what that is. There's 26 online leagues that are involved in that this year, and each one has sent a representative, and it's a purely fictional league. 10 years were simmed in that league, and then all the players were released, and so all the GMs kind of did a draft, and the whole idea is to assemble the best team they can and try to win it all in a year, and we've got some prizes we're giving out. So that's our first year doing that. I want to keep doing that. It's kind of the, you know, sort of for bragging rights among all the online leagues.
Well, and Out of the Park Baseball does give – you were talking about giving out prizes. You guys actually do a lot of really cool promotions. If you bought early on the 14th version, you had a chance to win an iPod – or an iPad. I mean, they gave away an iPad and some other cool prizes and that. And you definitely can find that on the website, and definitely – I believe you guys have a mailing list, right, Brad?
Yeah, we have a newsletter, so people, you should definitely sign up for the newsletter on our site, and they can stay informed of what's going on.
And so that would definitely be a way to do that. And then again, email me at kansascitybaseballvault@gmail.com if you're interested in doing our league, and we'll have to get it figured out. It'll be my first time running one of these, and once we get that working, then we can figure out who we can send to the Grand Champion League, maybe in the in one of the future versions or whatever. But it's a really neat game, and I can't brag on Out of the Park Baseball enough. But if you haven't checked it out already, check out of the Park Baseball. It's definitely one of the best. The forums are so great. There's Missouri leagues, I know that. There's leagues that are just Royals fans that are already out there. Again, we're going to do our league. You can email me at kansascitybaseballvault@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and we'll get you added to the league. And then we're going to give away some prizes from Kelly's and some other stuff on there. But, Brad, thanks for stopping by. We'll be talking a lot about Out of the Park this first month as I get into the game, and I'll probably talk a lot about my league that I'm building and seeing where it goes and just the different things we can do. And as I find a new feature that I really like, I'll shoot Brad an email and get his opinion on that feature, or we'll just talk about it a little bit. But the shows will be brought to you by Out of the Park once again for the next month or so, and we're going to have a good time. I really enjoy Out of the Park Baseball. I think I'm the one of the three of us that has gotten the most fun out of it, but it's absolutely replaced my need for Madden, which was my game that I usually get NCAA and Madden. That would take me through the year in video games because I don't have a lot of time for gaming, but I've absolutely loved having this. And, man, when I had my work laptop, it was always simulated in the background. I have something like 800 – I had like 800 hours invested into the 2013 version as I played it in the background at work. And so thank you, definitely tell the developers thank you for making such a fantastic game. And Brad, thank you for stopping by today, and we'll have you on again here in a couple of months if we really get into the game and find some cool things that we want to talk to you about.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Brad. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Come to Spit Cup this week. We'll let the person who has the highest bar tab ride the bull. We don't have any TVs in our bar, but we make our own entertainment. Mondays, it's free cover charge to anybody with a gun rack in their pickup truck. Tuesdays, we've got $8 beer night. All domestic beers are on special for only $8. It's Spit Cup. Wednesdays is longest tobacco spit. Thursdays is foot fungus night. Friday night is jamboree night. Bring your crap kick in your 10-gallon hats. And this weekend, you get our world-famous Spit Cup girls. You get to pick which one has the most teeth. It's Spit Cup. No love letters, talking to the wall. Or you could go to Kelly's Westport Inn. The highest quality drinks with the lowest prices. You know what we do. Drinks, friends, plenty of TV showing sports. They've got all the basketball and all the baseball on. Live music on the weekends, the best pizza in Kansas City, and fun. Kelly's has the best rooftop patio in town and is voted one of the best places in Kansas City to check out the view, if you know what I mean, and maybe make a new friend. Make the best choice for your evening entertainment, Kelly's Westport Inn. Kelly's is at 500 Westport Road in Kansas City, Missouri. Kelly's Westport Inn. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
And welcome back into an absolutely gremlin-ridden version of the Kansas City Baseball Vault. We've now been recording for about 2 hours and gotten about an hour worth of recording out of it, I think. And it's been one of those days. But we finally have on the phone the great Jason Parks from Baseball Prospectus. Now, what is your actual title, Jason? Head Prospects Guy?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I guess I don't really care about the titles. I mean, I think that it's director of minor league and player development content, but I don't care. Jason's fine.
Okay. And Jason has gotten another podcast going. He finally shook off the breakup with Kevin Goldstein, and as Kevin would tell you, Kevin's death, you know, because everybody acted like it was that he died when he went on to actually get a front office job with the Astros. But you and Mike Farron make a new Magic, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't had time to listen yet, but how's the new podcast going?
It's going better than I anticipated. I mean, it's not that I didn't love Up and In. I mean, part of my love for Up and In, you know, was my relationship with Kevin, getting to talk baseball with a best friend. I didn't always like to, you know, setting aside 3 hours, you know, because we went on and on and on a week to do the podcast. I didn't miss that as much. But, you know, it's a good platform to talk about baseball, to get other people engaged, to, you know, to broaden your range and your scope. And, you know, I've been friends with Mike for a long time. He was the easiest choice. He was the only choice that I would do. And I'm glad it worked out. I absolutely adore doing the show with him. And I think it's going to grow into something very similar to Up and In.
And now they're still doing let me try this again. Baseball Prospectus still has the Sirius show as well, but it's Joe Hamrahi who's doing that one now that Kevin's moved on, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they're still going to do the Sunday show with Mike Farron and Joe Hamrahi, the CEO and president and fearless leader of Baseball Prospectus, along with Darren Sutton, former voice of the Arizona Diamondbacks and son of Hall of Fame pitcher Don Sutton.
Well, we want to thank Jason for taking the time to do this interview, because I know he's kind of a night owl anyway, as at least you and Kevin used to be, and it's 10 o'clock on the East Coast. We're covering quite the time frame right now. You know, I'm in Pacific time now down in Flagstaff, and Mike and Jeff in Central Time, of course, you on the East Coast. So we want to thank you for taking the time so late to get into this. So if you go to Baseball Prospectus right now, and on the front page, there's an article that says, when prospects break your heart, and or prospects will break your heart. That's Jason's shtick, his take on prospects. And it's checking in on Bubba Starling. And I've been out on Bubba Starling for a while. I think we actually went into like a 10-minute diatribe on how Starling's more likely to be playing football in 3 years for Nebraska than he is to be playing with the Royals in Kansas City. And then your article comes out, and after a small sample of 7 games, his line is 0.077, 0.143, 0.077 with 11 Ks. And then, you know, people need to go to Baseball Prospectus and subscribe for $5 a month. It's super cheap, so you can read this article. But what is it about this sample size that for you has really put some concern regarding Starling?
Well, I mean, you know, to be 100% honest, and I know people may not believe this, but if he was hitting, you know, 300 right now, I'd probably still have some of the same problems with it. And that's kind of one of the reasons I wanted to take such a small sample size and just throw it out there and say, look, okay, you see how he's not hitting a buck, or now he is, but, you know, he's hitting under 100 or whatever, and he's really struggling to make contact. Well, this is kind of what I have been seeing out of Starling since he signed. Now, I know he put up some decent numbers last year in short season ball. I get this. You know, there's something about, you know, I've probably seen him play 15 games total, which isn't, you know, an incredible sample, but it's a credible sample. And, you know, I've watched countless workouts. I get it. You know, if you've seen him in person, you get it. I mean, this guy is a freak athlete, you know, and when you start reading the resume and you realize how good he was at basketball and how good he was at football and how, you know, good he is at baseball from a tool perspective, it makes sense, you know. Geographic proximity, falling to the Royals, it's a done deal. You know, you can't pass that up. I'm not really faulting the Royals here. But, you know, that said, I've yet to see the lab tools. Now, I understand what the package is supposed to look like. From a physical standpoint, I get it. Now, this is a guy who supposedly came in with top shelf run, top shelf raw power, top shelf arm, top shelf defensive ability. And the only question mark was how much he's going to hit and will allow the power to play. Well, he's not an 80 runner. You know, he doesn't have an 80 arm from the outfield. He might have 70 raw, but, I mean, he's a strong guy. He's going to be able to – he can do some crazy stuff in batting practice. But, you know, the guy that people think Starling is who Byron Buxton actually is. Those are loud tools. Those are 80-grade tools. Starling's not quite that loud. Now, it's still exciting, but, you know, he's definitely more raw player than baseball player. And given his advanced age and given some of the, you know, neurological possibilities that I discussed in the article, you know, there's a larger bust potential than people are realizing here.
Well, and that's something that, you know, we're aware of with the bus. We've seen too many of them come through Kansas City, and of course, the Tampa Bay Rays are gonna make Montgomery into the greatest pitcher of all time. I've already given into that fact, but outside of that, we've seen so many busts at the pitcher level. It's scary to think that Mondesi. Just thinking about Mondesi makes me smile, but that's a comment for later. That Bubba may be off. Mike, did you have a question to go along with this?
Well, yeah, I'm curious because I think that part of what you talk about and part of what a lot of people have talked about is that Bubba never really focused on baseball. He's, you know, as you said, he's an athlete, but he's not really a baseball player. He's just freakishly athletic. So how, at this point, how fixable are those issues? I mean, a lot of people will say, and I saw this exchange between you and Rainey Jazierli, and Rainey was saying, well, he's only 20 years old. And you said, well, he's already 20 years old. So at this stage, you know, how likely and how fixable, what kind of adjustments is he going to have to make right now that are reasonable for him to make, not just hoping that he's going to suddenly start to make contact, but, you know, even incremental things at the level that he's at?
Well, I mean, look, he's not a finished product, and I don't want people mm-hmm. to assume that that's the case I'm trying to make.
Right.
What I am trying to suggest is that from a neurological standpoint, there are certain learned, you know, visual motor skills that start to develop at a very young age. And after a certain point, we reach a point where any gains that we would make are very small. And the mm-hmm. longer we move away from adolescence, it compounds. It's a good way of looking at this is to look at how adults try to learn a foreign language.
Right.
All right.
Exactly.
As a child, it's much easier to learn. Adults don't lack the capacity to become completely fluent in a foreign language. You know, after a certain point, it becomes extremely difficult, if not impossible. The same is true of hitting a baseball. You know, it is a learned visual motor skill that forms at a very, very young age through learned activity. I'm not saying that Bubba Starling can't learn to hit a baseball, but he will have a feeling based on his neurological makeup. Based on what I've seen, the premise of my article is that the guy just doesn't appear to pick up the ball very well. You know, I mean, he's clearly a freak athlete. We've established this. His read reaction time, it's a little concerning to me. I think he triggers his swing late. I don't think that he has the best swing to begin with. Now, a swing is something that you can tailor. Reaction time is not something that you can really improve a great deal, and you definitely aren't going to be able to improve the way that his eye picks up the ball and his body reacts accordingly. You know, that's a neurological trait. So the fact that he's 20, that's a concern for me. And what Rainey and I were actually discussing is that Rainey wrote an article a few years ago, he did a study about how the older high school hitters are when they're drafted, you know, mm-hmm. the less likely they are to develop into superstars, whereas the Lindors, the Correas, the kids who were drafted at 17 have a much better chance developmentally speaking. So, mm-hmm. you know, we both agree that Starling being 20, you know, turns 21 at the end of this year, he's behind the developmental curve of a superstar already.
I know, so you're going to dig this.
We're asking a lot for this guy.
Hold on a second. Jeff, what is going on your computer?
Sorry, I don't know what that was. Sorry.
It just continues tonight, I swear to God. Okay, Jeff, did you have a question?
Is this the WWE? Is somebody running in?
Apparently,
yeah, okay. I'm really sorry about that. I'm not sure what that was.
Well, folks, as you know, that was a pretty abrupt ending to the show. We had a ton of problems between Skype and our recording system and what have you. So we're going to have Jason Parks rejoin us another day. I talked to him, and he was going to rejoin us on Sunday. It's now Monday. We started recording this on Friday. We were going to have him back on Sunday, but he got stuck across Brooklyn, and we didn't have time to get back with him. So we will have Jason Parks on again in the future. But thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. For Michael Engel and Jeff Herr, please give us all of your thoughts at KansasCityBaseballVault@gmail.com or RoManReport@gmail.com, and hit us up on Twitter at Kingsley Kaufman and at KCBaseballVault. But until next week, have a great week and go Royals.
What you trying to be yourself for?
It's so picky. Like, if you don't put the numbers in a very specific way, it's like, no, I'm not going to work.
Yeah, usually the area code goes first.
Well, I did that. Oh, funny guys. Funny guys, I tell you.
I'm having too much fun at your expense tonight, Troy.
That was great.